strains with so many people signing up for unemployment benefits during this COVID emergency. I'm David Brancaccio. This morning, we're set to see if forecasts are confirmed that another 5 million newly laid off people signed up for state unemployment benefits in the last week. That would add to the 16 million people who signed up in the last 3 weeks. States pay for this and states are strained. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Each state pays out unemployment benefits from a trust fund paid for by taxes on employers.
In good times, you have significantly more going in than is going out, but you're supposed to save up for times like the one we're experiencing now.
Jared Walsak is a researcher with the Tax Foundation. He says according to federal data, several of the hardest hit states like California, New York, and Texas could be running low on funds in a matter of weeks.
And some of these same states struggled with this during the Great Recession and only very recently paid off the debt that they accrued.
Because when unemployment funds run out, states still have to pay the benefits. They just have to borrow the money from somewhere else, usually the federal government. Chris O'Leary is an economist with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research.
If this lasts more than 3 or 4 months, just about every state will have to borrow.
That could result in higher taxes for employers or reduced benefits down the line. But O'Leary says the federal government could just give the money to states. It has before as part of disaster relief. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Government stimulus payments have begun showing up in the bank accounts of tens of millions of people. It would make many very unhappy if that money went to cover bank overdraft fees and such. Now big banks have pledged not to do that. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup say stimulus payments will not be used to make up for overdrawn accounts. Many Americans have begun receiving up to $1,200 from the federal government as direct deposits. But the $2 trillion CARES Act, which authorized the payments, did not exempt private debt collectors from coming after that money. Bank fees and overdrawn accounts count as private debt. But the big banks say they'll give their customers a temporary break on negative balances. That comes on top of other relief, such as deferred loan payments and waived fees for various transactions. Americans are paying close attention to the expected stimulus money, which began arriving Wednesday. Online systems were overwhelmed at a number of banks as customers checked their accounts for the funds. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The S&P future is up 0.5% now. We're also covering the emergency small business loan program getting close to running out of money, with Congress considering more. Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you missed that on the air. How can the toolkit of an economist help us understand this COVID-19 era? We've been talking to economists who are all Nobel laureates each week, just one part of our Econ Extra Credit project. Paul Romer, Joseph Stiglitz, Esther Duflo, and this morning, Robert Shiller at Yale. His last book is about how the stories we tell shape the economy. The economic narrative now is horrifying, and we've been facing it head on. For instance, today we'll be reporting data likely showing that more than 20 million Americans were thrown out of work over the last 4 weeks. Dr. Shiller, thanks for linking up here.
David, my pleasure.
That disaster narrative, could it feed on itself? Could I be doing damage by telling it like it is?
Well, there's the inherent conflict. People have to know that it's serious. Reassuring them falsely is not in their interest. On the other hand, we can also put a slant on it that's so negative that they're afraid to go out, even for things they need. And that means that business collapses.
I mean, people are comparing this to the Great Depression now. Part of the danger, right, is if you keep saying Great Depression, is people stop investing, and then you have a greater problem than even the pickle that we're in.
So that narrative is like a disease that is lurking in the shadows, and it makes us afraid to do things. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There is a difference this time. People thought that the Great Depression would go on forever, and that made them feel nervous about taking any risks.
Another meme, another narrative that was not as enduring is the so-called Spanish flu, 1917-1918. I mean, now we're talking about it, but you could easily quiz people a few months ago, and they may not have known.
Right. It's unfortunately a little hard as a comparison point because it coincided with the end of World War I. The stock market actually went up at that time. But the one important difference was in 1918, they didn't have the idea of sheltering in place. So they didn't shut the country down then. So in a sense, this event differs from past events, not just because we had a horrible epidemic, but also because we have an aggressive way of dealing with it.
I mean, there are emerging narratives of, in this terrible public health emergency, there may be opportunities to rethink an economic system that was not serving enough people. I get that, but turning the narrative only in that direction might be a disservice.
I actually feel positive about that narrative. You know, we have rising inequality. We have minorities that are still kept down by prejudice. I think this is a unifying moment. And I think it may actually indeed make for a better society going forward.
Always good to talk to Yale economist Robert Shiller. His latest book is called Narrative Economics, How Stories Go Viral and Drive Major Economic Events. Dr. Shiller, thank you for this.
David, it was my pleasure.
We've also been reading a free Econ 101 textbook, a chapter a week. Sign up for the Econ Extra Credit newsletter and a link to that free book at marketplace.org. There's a green button that is hard to miss. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.